It's a cloudy day here in Budapest. Cooler, quite cool. This afternoon I'll go to Rajadam, and don't know how long I'll be there. And in fact, I don't know how podcasts will go. I guess we'll record kirtans on the festivals and lectures, and some of them will be in two languages anyway, so we'll see how the editors are able to chop things up and put things up. Although I probably will be busy morning to night, so I don't foresee that I'm going to have so much time to just do purpose-made recordings. Anyway, I'm looking forward to being there. I don't think I've seen Radha Shyamasundar in now 4 months, or the devotees, or Krishna Valley. And that's a long time. But I have to first have a doctor's appointment, and then head off after that. I'm trying to sort of readjust to being back in the West. Generally, jet lag is not such a great problem, but I'm still a little jet-lagged from the marathon in Vrindavan. Many hours of working, not physically, but mentally, sort of exhausted me a little. And particularly, as I mentioned before, a lot of noise in the surrounding area, which some time ago in the past of my youth I could easily sleep through a hurricane, but it's not like that anymore. It's much easier to wake up, and once you wake up, then you stay up, and it's more difficult to go to sleep. Anyway, enough about complaining and the miseries of the body, which we all know about. This morning, though, I was writing. I'm trying to continue with the momentum that I have from Vrindavan, a wonderful momentum. And although I'm not writing the number of hours there, but I got in a good few hours this morning, and it was nice subject matter. The chapter I'm on now is about the inhabitants of New Rajadam, and there were some really beautiful sections that are really very informative for devotees practicing Krishna consciousness. This is in relationship to Lord Brahma's prayers to Krishna in the 14th chapter. And Lord Brahma's offering his respects to the inhabitants of Vrindavan. He prays to be a like Uddhava, a blade of grass, so that he can get the dust from the lotus feet of the Brijvasis. And he explains why it is that he thinks that they're so extraordinary, and of course they're extraordinary because they're so Krishna conscious. However, they appear to be ordinary people. They appear to be grihastas. They have their business as vaishyas, maintaining cows and everything that goes along with that. They have their families, their homes, their family members, and they exhibit attachment to these. And one may raise the question, well, these Brijvasis, these devotees, aren't saints, they're not sannyasis, they're not sages, so why do you think that they're so great? They appear like ordinary people, like conditioned souls. So Lord Brahma says that home, family, wealth, all of these things are like thieves that rob materialistic people who have strong attachment and desires for these type of things. But those who are devotees of the Lord, who are fully surrendered to Krishna, who have dedicated everything to Him, and who have given their homes, families, lives, their hearts to Krishna, even though they may be engaged in these activities, they're insulated from material desires, they're insulated from material attachments. And rather than these things being a source of suffering for them, but they actually become devotional activities, as Srila Prabhupada would use the phrase, that all of these things are spiritualized by their strong attachment or love for Krishna. And therefore, these persons are more than any other yogis or transcendentalists because they've achieved the perfection of life, mamekam sharanam braja, and that is just fully surrendering to Krishna and giving everything to Krishna. So, also for those in the Grihastha ashram, if we can just keep this in mind, that even as practitioners, even as sadhakas, if our consciousness is Krishna consciousness, manasya deha geha jiho kichumura, Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains like that, that we offer everything to Krishna, we're doing everything for Krishna, we're sacrificing our lives for Krishna, and we maintain that consciousness, then affection for husband and wife and children, maintaining one's family, being conscientious of that, and even having to work in the material world won't be entanglements, and neither are they mundane. They're spiritualized, and they are become the source of one's liberation because they are devotional offering to the Lord. But as long as we're conditioned souls, if we don't ensure that we have that type of consciousness where we're constantly reminding ourselves and constantly aware of Krishna's supremacy, that we should be offering everything to Him, then we can also forget. And when we forget, then we become entrapped by these material things. Once we become liberated, free from the influence of material energy, then that becomes our only nature, full surrender to Krishna. But while we're in a conditioned state of life and there's an alternative, we have to make sure that we have regular chanting, regular hearing, regular morning program, regular all of these things, so that we can take advantage and be benefited by the extraordinary power and potency of devotional service, and in that way achieve that stage of perfection where that's all we know, and we do not know any other type of material energy. So this is the method of becoming advanced in devotional service and pleasing Krishna, whether one is grihitake, vanitake, whether someone's a sannyasi, whether someone's a grihastha, the same result can be achieved in any varna, in any ashram, provided that one knows the science of surrendering to Krishna. Hari Bol.